Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 4th of Tishrei. For the second day in a row, we will see a Tzitz Eliezer. Normally, I don't try to do this. I try not to do the same people 2 days in a row, but I found a very interesting tshuva, I thought, on very relevant topics in the Tzitz Eliezer, on Lashon Hara issues, and so that's what we're going to do. This is from Tzitz Eliezer, Volume 20. Responsive number 6, he's going to talk about the Rambam's discussion of issues of Lashon Hara, and also about a pasuk that the Chafetz Chaim made famous as being about Lashon Hara, although everybody knew it beforehand also, and a story in the Medrash about a certain rochel, a certain peddler. So we'll get to it all. So the 4th of Tishrei, he wrote it on Tav Shin Nun Gimel, 1992, probably, when he was about 76 years old. He wrote it to a man named Rav Aaron Zakai, who had put out the 7th volume of his series, Habayit HaYehudi, the Jewish home. And he's responding to it, and this is one that we've seen at other times. When he responds, he takes up some of the issues of the book and adds a few of his thoughts, just to give him some thoughts and to share some Torah thoughts. So when Rav Aaron Zakai had spoken about Lashon Hara, so Tzitz Eliezer points out that the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, this is in the 7th chapter of Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos is the laws of character, as it were. So, and there's lots of issues in there. So one of them, among them, he includes their Lashon Hara issues. And the Rambam writes, Ve'amru Chachamim, our sages have said, Kol ha-misaper Lashon Hara, Kol ha-misaper Bilashon Hara, Ki'ilu kofir ba'ikar. Whoever tells Lashon Hara, whoever speaks ill of somebody else, it's as if he's denying Hashem, right? Kafar ba'ikar is the phrase for denying Hashem, for being a heretic, for really abandoning Judaism in the important ways, in the important ways of belief. V'yesh la'ir, the Tzitz Eliezer says, we can comment that here he writes it as ma'alin alav ki'ilu kofir ba'ikar. It's as if this person has denied that the act of telling Lashon Hara is as if one is denying the existence of God. But in another place, he says, and that's in Hilchos Tumas Tzara'at. He says, "Besofo shel davar ba'al yidei kach lidei." I'm sorry. No, in another place, we'll get to it in a second. The Rambam seems to say that it happens that you actually become a kofar, not just that it's so bad that the verse treats it as, the Torah treats it as, we treat it as if, but that it actually happens that way. So that's in Hilchos Tumas Tzara'at in the 16th chapter. He says there that the chain of events of Lashon Hara is that after telling Lashon Hara in general about ordinary people, then Ba'in L'Saper B'Gnut HaTzadikim, that will lead a person to also slander the greatly righteous people. And from there, to say that, to do that about Nevi'im, and to, from slandering Nevi'im, one then starts to say, and the things that they say aren't true either. Right, and from there, the Rambam writes, "Mitochkach ba'im ledaber be'lokim." Then you start talking against Hashem, the kofin ba'ikar. The Rambam is saying that there's a chain of events, like a slippery slope, that when we get used to slandering other people, ordinary people, we go from there to slandering the righteous, and from there to slandering Nevi'im. And once we slander Nevi'im, by which we mean once we mistreat Nevi'im and we slander them and we think of them as not being these figures who we have to treat with great respect, then we also will do the same to their words. We'll treat their words the same way. And from mistreating their words or treating their words as not the Dvar Hashem, meaning it's not something that we have to treat with awe and fear, then we'll end up allowing ourselves to say things like that, God forbid, about Hashem himself, as it were, and then will lead to Kofrin Beikar. And the Rambam quotes two verses to that point. One is, it's a verse at the end of Divrei Yomim, I think it's from Divrei Yomim, it's talking about why the Jews went into exile, why Hashem destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. The verse there says, "Vayachpu v'nei Yisrael d'vrim asher lo ken Hashem Elokehem," that b'nei Yisrael ascribe things that weren't so to Hashem their God. And then he quotes another pasuk, "Shatu b'shamay pihem l'shanam t'yelach ba'aretz," that they put their voices, their words, their mouths against in the heavens, and their language went on the land. Mi garam lehem l'shiv b'shamay pihem. The Rambam says, what caused them to be willing to speak out against Shamayim, as it were, is the fact that first they went against things on this earth. In other words, for the Rambam, we're saying that the rak ma'alin ki'ilu kofir ba'ikar that we saw in Hilchos Deos, the fact that it's like heresy, was because in Hilchos Deos, talking about specifically the act of Lashon Hara, God forbid, and sadly, a Jew speaks Lashon Hara about another Jew, that's only like heresy. In El Suma Saras, the Rambam is pointing out that it may only be in that act like heresy, but it's also true that it's going to lead to actual heresy, because in the chain of events, what happens is, when we get used to mistreating others and not treating them with respect, and not realizing that it's just wrong and unacceptable to slander them where it's inappropriate, right? There are times when we're allowed to speak about other people negatively. Those are exceptional cases that we can get to another time, but where it's not allowed, which is the general case, not allowed to speak negatively about others, so then if we get used to doing it, it teaches us, the Rambam, and understand the Rambam to be saying, it teaches us not to have the attitude towards others that we're supposed to have. Once we don't have that attitude towards regular people, eventually we won't have that attitude towards Torah scholars, towards the greatly righteous people of the world. And from there, we can even develop that attitude towards Nevi'im, towards prophets. And once we've developed towards the prophets themselves, then we can also develop it about their words. Because it's a small jump, right? If I come to realize, you know, for example, I think Chazal criticized Elisha's anger. That Elisha, Chazal think, sometimes was angry in places where he shouldn't have been angry, that eventually led Hashem to punish him. Let's say, right? So if that's true, and that's my memory, and that's not necessarily just my memory, so if that's true, then you can imagine somebody saying, oh, that Elisha, he has a temper problem, right? So that would be Lashon Hara already. So if somebody's speaking about Elisha having a temper problem, the next step would be to say, why would I trust his presentation of Nevuah, of his prophecies, if he's got the anger problem? So that's how it all leads. And then from there, it can lead to not accepting what's really the word of Hashem, and from there, not into accepting Hashem, and coming, God forbid, to Kfira Ba'ikar itself, to denying fundamental principles about Hashem. So that's the way the Tzitz Eliezer explains the two Rambams. One is about the basic act of Lashon Hara against another fellow human being, and one is about laying out the chain, the slippery slope that Lashon Hara leads us on. Then Tzitz Eliezer says that he thinks that the Rambam got the second Rambam, the Harambam Hilchos Tumas Tzarat, where he laid out the whole chain, from a Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin on 15b is where a lot of Lashon Hara statements are made or recorded, and there, Amar Reish Lakish, Kol HaMisaper B'Lashon Hara, Kol HaMisaper Lashon Hara, Magdil Avanot Ad Lashamayim, meaning there's no Gemara that says what the Rambam said. But Reish Lakish says there that whoever tells Lashon Hara sins in a way that is like it's a sin up to heaven. Shenemar shatu b'shamayim pihem, as it says in Tanakh, that they put in Tehillim, I think the pasuk is shatu b'shamayim pihem, they put their mouths up to heaven. And the Rambam's understanding of that, his commentary on that, his interpretation of that was that it's not that they do it in the act of Lashon Hara, it's that's telling you b'sofo shel davar. It's telling you what will happen at the end of the discussion. At the end of the discussion, the person who tells Lashon Hara will have so many sins that they'll even eventually come to speak out against Hashem, to be kofir, to be a heretic. And that's why the Rambam says, to be garam lahem lashit b'shamayim pihem. Who caused him to do this? It was the fact that he told Lashon Hara to begin with. So that means that the two statements of the Rambam actually complement each other. One is about Lashon Hara itself, and one is about, and there it's only like, one is a heretic, becomes a heretic, and one is about the longer chain of events that could happen, and what happens if one tells Lashon Hara regularly, and where it leads to. Then he pauses to give another example of this. He says that this is not the only time the Rambam does it. The Rambam does this several times, where you can find different Rambams, different places that actually supplement each other, because each one is talking about what's necessary for that particular place. So, for example, he says in Hilchos Deos, earlier in Hilchos Deos, in the sixth chapter, the obligation to marry a daughter, the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. The Rambam talks about there that one should try to marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham or marry his son to the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. So in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam says that you should try to do it because, and he says it's connected to the mitzvah of lihidabek b'chachamim mitalmidehem. There's a mitzvah, we understand the mitzvah of votidbak. You should votidbak. So there's a mitzvah to cling. The mitzvah is votidbak about Hashem. But the Chazal apply that to connecting and linking yourself and staying close to Torah scholars and their students. And the Rambam in Hilchos Deos says that part of the reason is lilmod mima'aseihem, to be able to learn from their actions, meaning that Torah scholars are supposed to, and true Torah scholars do, are models not only of knowledge, but they're models of action, they're models of behavior. So by staying close to them and developing connections to them and working with them, one learns from them more. So if one marries the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, we'll be around that Talmid Chacham often and learn how better to behave. Similarly, if one marries one son to the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, etc. In Hilchos Isuri Bia, the laws of proper marital relations, who one can marry and one cannot marry, in chapter 21, paragraph 32, we find that the Rambam says, "Ulalam yukor adam kol mashiyesh." Though a man, a person, should sell everything that he has, if necessary, to marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, because he says, "She'im mate o goleh," if this person, God forbid, passes away or has to leave town, his children will still be Talmidei Chacham. They'll still be Torah scholars because they'll have their grandfather as a model of it. And so too, he should marry his daughter off to a Talmid Chacham, because there's usually, he says that there's never, but almost never, there's not fighting in a real Talmid Chacham's house. They avoid fighting, and they avoid other inappropriate things. And the Rambam there doesn't mention the issue of votid bak, that one should cleave to Hashem. He only mentions as the sort of more practical outcomes. One will get a better home life, one will have grandchildren who are Talmid Chacham, etc. So the Rambam doesn't mention the other stuff because he's already written in Hilchos Deos. And that's a little different, because in this case he's saying that the main version of it came first, and later in Hilchos Isuri Bira, the Rambam only included the practical stuff. Whereas when it came to Lashon Hara, his example was the reverse. In Hilchos Deos, it was the first step of it, and later on in the Rambam, he brought the rest of it. But in any case, the particular is just saying that. You find this in the Rambam, that he will put part of an issue in one place, and part of an issue in another place, each place according to its appropriate context. And so, you have the two examples, one of the mitzvah of Uvot Yidbak, of cleaving to Hashem, and marrying a daughter of a Talmid Chacham, or marrying one's son to the daughter of a Talmid Chacham, in two places, in our main issue, which is the Lashon Hara issue, to which we're going to get back now. So all of this, though, is a reminder of how important it is to, as it says, that not only Lashon Hara specifically, although that's our specific example now, for people to calculate their behavior and treat their and be careful with how we behave, because the Rambam's pointing out that behavior that in itself is bad, but we think of it as X bad, can really actually turn out to be much worse than that, because it'll lead us down this path that we didn't necessarily think. So certainly Lashon Hara is like that, and even Avak Lashon Hara. So you should, he says, Ashrei me, it's so fortunate for somebody whose conversation is like the conversation of the kosher people, the Jewish people, right, of the right people. It should be about words of Torah, words of wisdom, and as the Rambam says, Nichols Tumas Tzara'at, and by doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozer Al Yadanu Mizakeh Otan Ban, Hashem helps such people and gives them merits for it, and quotes the verse, Shenemar Az Nidberu Yirei Hashem Isha Reyo Vayikshev Hashem Vayishma, that when those who fear Hashem speak to each other, Hashem comes and listen and writes it down. It's a pasuk that's quoted in Tehillim, in Pirkei Avot, about two people, when they're learning together, it's quoted. And there was a story once with Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that he once went, I remember this because a friend of mine, Ellie Weber, pointed it out to me and said how cool it was. Rav Lichtenstein used to go to the army sometimes when the boys from yeshiva were in the army. He would go up to visit. One time he came to a certain unit and they were off on a maneuver of some sort, and therefore he didn't get a chance to see them, and he left a note saying he'd come to visit and he wished he had gotten a chance to see him, and that he had been hoping they would have a chance to speak bechinas in the context of this pasuk. And knowing what Lichtenstein, he easily might have had this Rambam in mind as well, of having the right kinds of conversations. So this is stressing for us that we should make sure to have the right kinds of conversations that are filled with Torah ideas and with positive things and not with Lashon Hara, so that we can be among those people as well. Continuing his conversation with this man to his writing, he goes on and says on page 98 of his book, the man quoted whatever it is, but he has a chidah. He wants to mention the chidah. Has a book on Tehillim called Yosef Tehillot. And in that book, he wrote that the length of our exile now is l'takein l'shon hara hakolel shedibri Yisrael. That one of the reasons why our exile is continuing so long is because of the exile. Is because of the lashon hara that the Jewish people told. And he says that the mekubalim and kabbalistically people claim, the kabbalists claim that the way to heal that is b'talmud Torah. So theoretically, that would be because if you converse about Torah, we are using our conversations in a positive way to make up for the negative way. Then he says the Chida quotes there as well, Rav Eliezer Yitzchaki, an earlier figure, who quoted a pasuk that it speaks about Behagigi Tiv Aresh. When I speak, there's a fire. And it says, and he explained it as, it's because I said Lashon Hara. He gives an example. There's an example in the Gemara that if somebody talks about there being a fire in so-and-so's place, it's sort of a vak Lashon Hara. Because it's not itself Lashon Hara that they have a fire burning, not like a bad fire, like a destructive fire, they have a fire in the kitchen, let's say. But that it implies things about them, like that they're eating too much, or they're partying too much, because a fire would be, let's say, to cook meat. So in a time when not everybody's giving meat a lot, you're saying, basically, these are people who are always having meat, and they're always doing this stuff, so that would be an avak lashon hara. And then the continuation of the pasuk is lachein cham libi bikirbi, my heart is warm inside of me, because who can be careful, he says, about avak lashon hara. And the Gemara says that almost everybody every day tells avak lashon hara. And he adds, that's what the pasuk says before that, Nelamti Dumiach Shetimito, maybe we have to try to just be quiet. So that's a reminder to most of us to think about what we say before we say it, and carefully to make sure that we avoid these kinds of inappropriate speech in Lashon Hara and Avak Lashon Hara, and even the hint of saying bad things about people where it's not acceptable or necessary. Now there's a story in a Medrash Rabbah where there's a certain peddler who's walking around and says, who wants the drug that will give you long life? And Rabbi Yanai hears this, he says, I'd like some of that. And he goes down to the guy, he says, what are you selling? I want some. He says, oh, it's not for you. Why is it not for him? Because it turns out, this is the story in the Medrash Rabbah. He says, not for you. Why not for you? Because the drug that I was selling was the pasuk in Tehillim that says, Mi ha'ish chavit chayim, who wants life? Netzor l'shon chameira. So guard your language from saying evil things. Rabbi Yanai didn't need that because he knew it already. So Tzitzit says he saw a book called Divrei Shaul, which was written by Yosef Shaul Natanzon, who was also the author of a book of response we see sometimes, Shaul Omeshiv. And he had a commentary in his commentary, Divrei Shaul, on the Torah, on Parshas Mitzora. He quotes in the name of the author of the Ksosa Choshen, that who interpreted this verse as that many people, when they have something they're anticipating, they long for it to come already. And the way they long for it to come already is they say, oh, I wish these days would be over, and I wish this thing, whatever it is, would come already. Problem with that is, so they want that. So let's say if they're on a business trip and they're on the road and it's a dangerous place, and he says, oh, I only wish I could get home. But then he gets home and realizes he has another trip coming up, and that trip he thinks is going to make him lots and lots of money. He says, oh, I can't wait to go on that trip. So that throughout his life, this person is always expecting and hoping for these days to be over because of the anticipation of the days to come. And that's the way he lives his life. So when the pasuk says Mi ha'ish chafetz chayim, the Ksos HaChoshen had said, or this rumor in the name of the Ksos HaChoshen had said, that you're supposed to be ohev yomim. You should like all of your days. Liros tov, to see the good in them. Shebechol yom vayom. Every day you can do good things. You can do mitzvos. You can do good deeds. So even if it's true that there are things coming up. Even if there are things coming up that you're anticipating, that shouldn't lead you to also ignore the things that are going on right now and the opportunities that are coming your way. So I have a business trip coming up. I think I'm going to make $1 million in my business trip. I think it's all out there, but nonetheless, the day that I have today is still a day. So wanting this day to be over, that's a problem. So that's the Ohev Yomim of the Chofetz Chaim. Then that was what he quoted in the name of the Ksos HaChoshet. It's sort of an attitude that's very popular today as well, to remind ourselves to make use of the time that we have, to enjoy the time we have, and to be happy the time that we have, even if there's other stuff coming up that we might even want more than that. Then Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzon added, that is, in his understanding, what the Rochel was saying. When he said, who wants the Sama Dechaim, who wants this thing of life, he didn't just mean to avoid Lashon Hara, although that's a good thing to do. He meant, and then when Yana come down to find out what's going on, he said, you don't need it because you're not a person who looks down on this life, who's always trying to get by day by day, because you know to value life and value Torah and value mitzvot and find opportunities for good deeds in your life. I was talking to the regular people who don't realize that. So that adds an element to it. That's not a Lashon Hara element to it, but that takes this puzzle that's applied to Lashon Hara and says that it's also about appreciating life. That would mean then, by the way, and this isn't in the tshuva, but it would seem to imply or to mean that one of the reasons we tell Lashon Hara, or some of the reasons we tell Lashon Hara, is that we're not satisfied enough with our lives. Meaning, if you're an Isha Chafetz Chaim, in this reading of it, if you really enjoy life and find the good opportunities in life, then you'll also find it perhaps easier to be Notzer Lashon Chameira, to guard your tongue from speaking evil, because maybe you won't have these negative feelings welling up inside you that you need to have an outlet for because you're so busy finding the good opportunities in your current life. Then he found also a book called Shevet Sofer on Parshat Mitzora, and he's pointed out that in the Gemara, they say that Lashon Hara actually kills three people. It kills the person who tells the Lashon Hara, it kills the subject of the Lashon Hara, the person who hears the Lashon Hara. So the fact that it kills other people, meaning if somebody doesn't care about one's own life enough to not tell Lashon Hara, that's one thing. But when one tells Lashon Hara and thus hurts other people as well, it means that one doesn't really value their lives either. So then when it says, Mi Ha'isha Chafetz Chaim, who is it who loves life? You can read the verses meaning not only who loves their own life, but who cares about life so much, values life so much, that they value the life of their friends who are going to suffer for this Lashon Hara. That's why he said, Mi Ha'isha Chafetz Chaim. It's not his own life, it's the friends' lives as well. So that's another thing that the Rochel, that the peddler was saying to people, but the Rabbi Yana didn't need to know because he knew it already. So that's the story of the peddler as far as the Sefer takes it, more into Lashon Hara. I think he means them as into Lashon Hara in terms of knowing that valuing life and the way in which we value our lives and other lives shapes how we approach the world. Another issue that's relevant to Lashon Hara is that when it comes to war, some opinions had the Ramban in his Sefer HaMitzvos, not his Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban glossed the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. Sometimes the Rambam counted a mitzvah that the Ramban thought shouldn't be counted, and then there were mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count that the Ramban thought should be counted. So at the end of his glosses, he will write Shichachas Asin and Shichachas Alavin. He will the mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count left out. So in the 11th one of the mitzvahs that he thinks the Rambam left out of the Lavin, the Ramban counted a special mitzvah not to tell Lashon Hara when one is going out to war. When the Jewish people are going out to war in the camp, in the war camp, one has to make sure not to tell Lashon Hara. Then the Sifrei has it. I would have thought when it says that you go out to war, it says Nishmatam Mikol Davar Ra. You have to be careful not to do anything bad. And the Sifrei says it's not only when we say bad, you might have thought it was like the big bads, you know, Erva, sexual immorality, or Avodah Zarah, all right? And how do I know about Avodah Zarah, let's say, or Shvichus Damim, or cursing Hashem, Nishmatam Mikol Davar Ra. And the Sifrei concludes, Kol Davar Ra, that includes Lashon Hara, because Davar Ra means bad words, literally, and therefore it includes Lashon Hara. The Ramban explains that in a fairly practical way in his commentary on the Torah. He says, if you have Lashon Hara in the camp, then you're going to have people fighting with each other when they hear about the Lashon Hara, and then the camp won't be unified, and that'll make it that they'll maybe hit each other, they might get into fights with each other, and it might even be worse than all their enemies. And in the Yerushalmi, it seems like there's a debate as to whether we derive this issue from the pasuk. We derive lashon hara in general from the pasuk of Nishmarti Mikol Darara, or from the pasuk of Lo Tilech Rachil. And then he quotes a Maharash Sirileo. One of the things to notice in the Stilizer is how widely he quotes that if the pasuk had said that we don't need an asay, we only need a lav from the Torah of what we're looking for, because the asay is Zachor Asher Asa Hashem Lekecha LeMiriam. When Hashem, it's well accepted, or sometimes accepted, that when the Torah says, when Hashem says, remember what happened to Miriam, that's a warning about Lashon Hara. The Ramban counts that as a mitzvah as well. So then the Tzitzit says, and I saw Meshech Chachma, who says that there are two Lavin in the Yerushalmi, because there's two kinds of Lashon Hara. This is what the Meshech Chachma claims. What are the two kinds of Lashon Hara? One kind of Lashon Hara is when Jews talk among themselves about each other and to each other, and that would be Lo Tilech Rachil Be'amecha. Don't slander, don't tell tales within the nation. But then there's another problem of telling it michutz lemachane Yisrael. That would be benishmar to be called avara. When you go out to war, that you can't reveal the secrets of war to the enemy. And that would be another kind of lashon hara. That would be telling things, talking out of turn and outside the camp. And that would be michlal davara. And that's the two kinds of lashon hara, is what the Meshech Chachma says. So for Meshech Chachma, it's not a debate, it's two kinds of lashon hara. But this is the other says, but that's not the simple reading of the Yerushalmi. The simple reading of the Yerushalmi is that they have a debate about which verse we learn lashon hara from. And the Tzitzit thinks that that's clear because later on in that Yerushalmi, it contrasts the generation of David HaMelech, when people were generally good, but they would lose at war sometimes because they used to fight with each other and tell tales about each other. And he gives examples of people we have in Tanakh, people who tell stories about each other to other people and get people in trouble and having up to people getting killed. That's the time of David, but the time of Achav, when they were rampant idolaters, but they didn't tell on people. So example is when Ovadia sees Eliyahu after he's had disappeared for all those years, Ovadia is worried that Eliyahu will think of ill of him, and when he wants to try to explain that he's clearly a good guy, he says, you know, I hid all the prophets of Hashem from Izebel in a cave, and I fed them myself, and the tradition is that other people knew that he was doing it, but nobody told Achav or Izebel about it, and that willingness to hold on to secrets and not slander the people is the reason they won at war. So that's what Silas just says. The fact they refrained from Lashon Hara, even not at a time of war, right? Because those examples were not a time of war, nonetheless, it had ramifications for the time of war, right? And that's why also the Gemara says that if somebody is going to go to war but knows they tell Lashon Hara, they should not go to the war because they have to worry that because there's understanding to mean that at times of war, and in his time, by the time he's writing this, there are Jews going to war again as a Jewish nation. So at the time of war, the heavenly court thinks about these issues. And he has Yerushalmi that says that as well, that they would. That they would, before they would go to war, they would ask the Urim V'Tumim, and the Gemara there says that they would ask the Urim V'Tumim, that it's because at the time of war, the heavenly court would decide whether they're going to win or not win, and it's in that Gemara as well that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, Minishmatami kol darara ha'imeno yotzei eino tzarik leishmirah. If you don't go to war, you don't need shmirah, which teaches that Satan is finding room to claim that people should suffer for their sins, particularly at time of war. Meaning, two people, both sadly tell lashon hara sometimes. The Ezra's understanding the Yerushalmi to say when we go to war is a time when, a particular time, when the heavenly court might decide that that's the time to punish this particular sin. And that would be why you would not go to war. Then here now is where he mentions the Ramban and Shirkas Alav in Yud Aleph, that in the camp, we have to make sure not to commit certain sins, especially the sins, specific mitzvah, not to do the sins that cause the divine presence to leave the Jewish people. Because if we cause the divine presence to leave the Jewish people, then we're going to cause the death of people at war because the camp will not be as protected by Hashem and the war effort will not have Hashem's help, and therefore that'll cause a chilul Hashem, and the enemy who worship idols or other gods will see it as their victory. So that's the whole element of Lashon Hara that I don't know that we always pay attention to or think about, but that's what it's today's understanding it, that when the Jewish people go to war is a time of a particular kind of national judgment, so that actions that might ordinarily not lead to other people being killed can in the time of war do so, and that The Ramban held we have a particular obligation to be aware of that and to be concerned about it, and therefore to make particular efforts to refrain from certain kinds of behavior which are ordinarily bad, but in time of war are even more bad because of these kinds of issues. And then he closes getting back to Hilchos Tumas Tzaraat, where he points out that the Rambam talks about the fact that we should look at what happened to Miriam, that Miriam got Tzaraat for telling Lashon Hara, even though there were so many mitigating factors. She spoke about a little brother of hers. The little brother she spoke about, well, she didn't speak so badly about him. What she said was, he thinks he's a higher level Navi, a higher level prophet than other people, and he's really just the same, which is incorrect, but it's not quite Lashon Hara in the fullest sense of the word. She had saved him back when he was in a baby and the bow and on the river, and she had saved him and gotten his mother to be able to nurse him. He didn't care. That's what the Rambam understands the pasuk to be when it says "Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'od," that he was so humble and modest. It means to indicate that he didn't care. This fits very nicely, not for now, but very nicely the Rambam's general idea that the marker of anivut, the marker of humility, is that we don't mind how other people treat us because we don't see ourselves as requiring or deserving particular forms of respect. And nonetheless, she got Tzaraat. So the Tzitzit points out that the way the Rambam reads it explains why the Torah pauses in the middle of its discussion of the event to tell us that Moshe was anav me'od. What happens is Miriam speaks out against Moshe, and then Hashem gets angry with them and comes along and speaks to them about it and says, go out, whatever, and things go on. But in between, it says Moshe was very humble. And the Rambam and the Tzitzit says what the Rambam is pointing out is that humility was important because it shows us that her words didn't even have like a negative effect on Moshe. He didn't care about it. And nonetheless, Hashem stepped in, which shows us how terrible the sin of Lashon Hara was. And then he closed by saying, and why did Hashem get angry with them after? The pasuk says Hashem's wrath was burned against them and left after he spoke to them about it. Why not say it beforehand? Right? As soon as they did the sin, should when there was the choron off, and he says something that's not just a Lashon Hara issue, but a general tshuva issue, that what should have happened is when Hashem pointed out to them what they had done wrong, they should have agreed, they should have admitted to it, they should have said, we sin, as David HaMelech does with the Bathsheba story, and then maybe we've been the road to making things better. Their failure to do so was itself the cause of Hashem's choron off. So this in this very rich tshuva, and I've gone short a couple of other days, so I apologize for going long today, but it's just a minute or two. Let me just briefly point out the things that Tzitzit just pointed out to us. Lashon Hara as a slippery slope, leading us down a path that can lead to terrible things like heresy. Lashon Hara as affecting both our ordinary lives as well as our army lives, the necessity of, especially in the army, acting at a higher level to make sure that Hashem doesn't leave us, and then also things about Lashon Hara in terms of tshuva, let's say. Let's stick with the idea of tshuva and having to fess up to things that we did wrong and doing tshuva, and that being part of the process of starting it off. So many, many riches of Lashon Hara in this responsive day for the 4th of Tishrei. That's our responsive day. It's Eliezer on the issues of Lashon Hara. Have a great day.